Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is familiar to all of us, one of my favorite psalms, and I'll just be looking at the first six verses today and trying to be a help and encouragement to you. But we live in a very unusual day, a day of sickness like I've never seen before, a day of heartache, a day of financial pressure, even though I still believe we're living the greatest country in the world and probably have things a lot better than a lot of people do. And sometimes we get spoiled by where we are. But there's difficulties that arise in our life. This psalm is meant to be, I believe, a psalm of encouragement. It's David as he's writing. And I won't just read it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll come back and begin the message and comment a little bit about it. David writing says in Psalm 27, verse number 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his provision. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Our Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, Dave, for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning and once again open up a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we've read, preached on many times and thought about. But Lord, today I pray that you'd help me as I try to bring new light to the verses and share some things that I hope will be of great encouragement to those that are here. Father, we do pray again for blessings upon those sick. Pray for those who are unable to join us today. We thank you, Lord, for those who did join us today. Lord, we thank you for the good Sunday school we had and the children we had here today. What a blessing it is to be back in the house of the Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to have the same passion the psalmist did as he wrote this text. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. So I begin to look at these verses in verses 1 through 6. I see an imagery of war, literally, or battles that's going on. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, there's hope in the midst of the battle. And I want you to know today that many times we have battles, and this is exactly what David was going through. He was experiencing a great battle in his life. In verse 2, he talks about his enemies. He talks about his foes being those that would rise up against him. In verse 3, he mentions the word war. And he talks about the fact of the war that is going on around about him. He speaks of enemies in verse 6. And all of these speak of warfare and talks about the battles that's going on in his life. And Psalm 3 is one of the, well, all of them are important, but kind of verse 3 is kind of the middle of our text today. But he said, "Though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Now, here we find that he's talking about some battles. And I want to say today that I would venture to say that everybody in this building today is fighting some type of a battle, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. But I'm here to tell you today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't, you need to come to know Him today. But if you do know Him, you need to depend on Him and know that we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning, about the hope we have. In verse 3, speaks of the battle being waged against him. He's in a very difficult situation, but it's clear in reading verse 3 that he has hope. Again, I read it for sake of emphasis. "Though a host should encamp against me," what'd he say? "My heart will not fear. And though a war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." And so today, as we fight the battles of life and go through life, we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the hope that the world has to offer, but the hope that the Word of God has to offer. A fellow by the name of G.K. Chesterton said, "There's no medicine like hope. There's no incentive so great, no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better on tomorrow." Don't we always look for something better tomorrow? I called Brother Mike this morning, and I said, hey, you feeling any better? I'm looking, and I'm grateful today that he was able to say, yes, I am better. We find O.S. Martin said, there's no medicine like hope. There's a fellow by the name of, a lady by the name of Emily Dickerson. In one of her poems, she said, hope is a thing with feathers that perches in your soul. A fellow by the name of Pliny the Elder wrote, hope is the dream of a waking man. Martin Luther said, everything that is done in this world is done by hope. Now, here's what the dictionary says, and now don't jump to no conclusions. I'll comment on it after I read it. But it said in the dictionary, to have a wish to get or to do something or for something to happen or be true, especially something that seems plausible and likely. Now, from the world's viewpoint, that's what they say. Hope is something that is possible or likely. The world sees hope as a wish or a desire, something we wish for. Hope for the world is longing for something that may or may not take place. But friend, I tell you, my hope is in God today, and I'm not thinking about whether it will take place. I'm thinking it will take place because He's given us hope in the Word of God. The Bible teaches vastly different definitions of what hope is. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The world says that hope is merely a wish or desire, but the Word of God says hope in the Bible is something different. It's a deep, settled confidence that God will keep His promise. And I want you to know today, God has never failed, neither will He ever fail, and you can depend upon His Word. Now, I know we all have battles, but the question is, do you have hope? I think sometimes people get to the point, they say, man, preacher, I'm just in a hopeless situation. If you're a child of God, you're not in a hopeless situation. I believe today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're resting in the confidence of God, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and we believe what He said when He said, all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purposes. Even the battles that come in our life, even the defeat that may seemingly come upon us, understand that God is in control, and He is there to meet our needs. I wonder today, are we resting in Him? The essence of hope. Hope is a possession we all need to be sure of, that we have in large quantities, that God's going to do what He said He would do. And so this morning, I want to look at this passage of Scripture, give you just a few thoughts to jot down. The outline will be on the screen for you there. But I want to share with you some things that I hope will be a blessing to you. First of all, and I've already touched on a little bit, we find in verse 3, but our confidence in the Lord provides hope. There's people that you may not have confidence in. There's things in the world that you may not have confidence in. But we find that our confidence in the Lord provides hope. David begins the psalm by declaring a personal faith in the Lord. He begins by saying, first of all, that he's confident in the person of the Lord. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And also, he goes on to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What more could you want? That's the verse. That's the message within itself. The Lord is my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? First of all, today, light delivers us from darkness. I want you to know the Bible said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. The Bible said in Psalm 37, verse 23, Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. As light, God guides our steps. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's a light into our path, and He gives us the light we need as He directs us through life. And notice, if you would, as David is speaking here and he cries out to God, the most important thing in that verse is found in the word there, the Lord is my light, my salvation, my strength. Why? Because David has had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you don't know God this morning, listen, you're in a bad place. You need to get to the place where you come to know Him in a real and personal way. Not only is He our light, but He is our salvation, and our salvation delivers us from damnation. Whether you want to talk about it, whether you want to think about it, whether you want to believe whether it's true or not, friend, I want you to know there is a place called hell. Hell is real. Hell is hot. And hell is a place where people will go that reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So we find that Paul, y'all know who I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about David this morning. I got Paul on my mind. But we're talking about David. David has come to the point to where he said, listen, I want you to know I've got battles. And my enemies, the host, rise up against me. My enemies come against me. But he said, my strength is in the Lord. My salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that one day I shall see him. The third thing, not only light and salvation, but strength. The Bible said, as strength, God delivers His people from defeat. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm glad today that even though we fight battles here in this world, we fight battles, but one day we're going to find out that we're victors on the other end because God has already given us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to deliver us from defeat. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning team. You're on the team that's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ one day and be with Him forever and forever. And I'm glad today that He's given us the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I'm grateful today our name of our church is Victory Baptist Church because there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what your problem is today. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what you're going through. But I can tell you this today, God is our strength. He's our salvation. And He delivers us. He's our light. And He guides us in the way that He has us go. There's three characteristics of God. These three characteristics give us hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Light, salvation, and of course, victory in Him. And by the way, because of who our God is, we need not fear the enemy. God has never lost a battle. God has never been defeated. Neither will He ever be. And if you're on His side, somebody said one time, me and God are a majority. That sounds good, but God's a majority, whether I'm there or not. But I tell you what, I have no fear. Listen, if I've got Him fighting for me, I understand the strength that He gives to me. Confidence in His presence, confidence in His performance. Look at verse 2 and 3. He said, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up to eat my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." So he was confident not only in what the Lord did for him, but he was confident in the performance of what the Lord had done for him in the past and understood what God would do now. He's declaring his present hope in the Lord. And where does it rest on? It rests not on today, but it rests on yesterday and the days prior to where you've seen the hand of God. If you've been saved any length of time, friend, you definitely have seen the hand of God working in your life in good ways and seeing God meet your need. Occasionally you hear somebody say, "Well, God let me down," or "God failed me," or "I'm angry with God because of this, because of that." Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get angry with God, because God is God. He's who He is, and His performance is outstanding, and His performance is always good. God did not fail him then when David was going through all the things that he did. And by the way, I don't have time to get into all that, but go back and read the Old Testament. You'll find out David needed the Lord on his side a heap of times. And every time, God was right there for him. The same confidence as ours today. Because we serve an unchangeable God. The Bible said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." We say, boy, I wish we had the God of the ages. I wish we had the God of old here today. I got news for you. We do have the God of the ages, and we do have the God of the old days with us. He does not change. You said, well, we're not seeing things like we did. It's not His fault. It's the way people have come to the point in their lives to where they do not understand the importance of loving God and serving God and being faithful to Him. Don't blame God for that. Friend, God wants to work. God wants to save people. God wants to stir our heart and get us dedicated to serving Him. And He never fails us. He has done the victories. He's won. The enemies He's vanquished. And the mountains He's moved. And the victories He's won. I tell you, my God has met every need in my life. So I find, first of all, today as we think about this, the confidence that our Lord provides hope. The second thing I want you to notice is our commitment to the Lord provides hope. Not only do we find this, but in verse 4, he said one thing. You know, isn't it interesting? And I can say, Paul, you remember I preached a message recently that Paul said, this one thing I do in Philippians when I was there. Here's David saying, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You know, it's sad, and I don't see it so much because I'm always here. But sometimes people tell me, they say, we ride near church, we were out or we were on vacation or whatever. We ride by, and churches have one or two cars. Some of them aren't even open. But you know what the psalmist said? He said, the reason I have hope is because I have a desire to be in God's house and to be near God and to worship God and to enjoy the blessings of God. Notice, living by faith gives us hope, but it also, the living faith, provides a measure of hope that cannot otherwise exist. David mentions three goals, I believe, in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at, and I want you to notice his commitment. He is committed to lingering near the Lord. David wants to spend his entire life in the house of God. You remember when Hannah had a child? She said, Lord, if you just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Oh, I know today we have children. We bring them to the altar and preacher prays for them, dedicates them, and I commend that. And I think that's exactly what you need to do. And I don't believe the Lord works the way He did back then. But I begin with Hannah. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. What'd she do? As soon as he was born, after she had weaned him, she took him back down, and she left him at the house of God. You know why? Because she was willing to do what she said she would do. David wants to spend his entire life. He said, one thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen to what Psalm 84, verse 1 through 4 says. How amicable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I want you to know David wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And you know, he even thought about the birds. He was a little jealous of them because they could hang around the house of God all the time and be near the Lord. You know, that ought to be our desire today. I think today the grave importance in our life, the church is so important and God's commanded our faithfulness to it. He said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And I think that ought to be the desire today. Now listen, somebody said, I can get close to God without being to church. You may can, but I tell you, every time I come to the house of God, I feel closer to God when I hear the Word of God and sing the songs of God and give praise to God. There's something about a closeness and an intimacy with the Lord. We ought to have a place where we can linger near the Lord in His presence all the days of our lives. You know, being a Christian is not a Sunday morning thing or a Sunday night thing or a Wednesday night thing. Being a Christian is a 24/7 thing. All the time of our life, giving God what belongs to Him. There ought to be a genuine desire to be near. You know, I think of that song, draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Friend, when I think of what Jesus did for me, I think about what I need to do for him. And I need to love him with all my heart and all my soul. There'll be commitment, not only to being in the house of God, but there'll be commitment to prayer and study of the Word of God. There'll be a commitment to public and private worship. Those who linger near the Lord will find a way. I said the song, but James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Not only did he want to linger near the house of the Lord, but he's committed to loving the Lord. Look what he said. He said, I want to, in verse 4, he said, I will seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord. You know what he wants to do? He wants to seek his face. You see, not only is David only committed to being where the Lord is, he's committed when he gets there to worshiping him and praising his name. What a worthy goal in life that is. This should be the goal of every believer if we are a believer as well. If we're going to worship the Lord, we're going to have to do it his way. Jesus said that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. As we yield to the Spirit of God and worship God for who he is, he's revealed in the Word of God. If you came this morning just to come, you may not get anything. But if you came this morning to worship God, you might get something because you're desiring to hear from heaven. I think it's sad, and I know as a pastor, I probably fail miserably a lot of times. But friend, I believe this with all my heart. If we come looking for something, we can get something. And if we don't come looking for nothing, we probably won't get anything. But I want you to know today that we ought to be committed to not only lingering near him, but we ought to be committed to loving him. Friend, I tell you what, the greatest love story ever given, the greatest love you've ever experienced if you're saved, is the love of God's salvation for you. And then he's committed to leaning on the Lord. Notice in the latter part, he said, and to inquire in his temple. To inquire means to learn. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. David is utterly declaring his dependence upon God. He said, listen, not only do I want to hang out near the house of God, not only do I want to worship God, but I want to see his face. I want to know some answers. I want to inquire of him. Well, how long has it been since you inquired of the Lord? Somebody this week was talking to me and said, I've been reading my Bible, and that's a good thing. And they didn't say that. I said that. He said, I've been reading my Bible. And I said, in my heart, I said, that's a good thing. And they said, I got some questions. And I said, in my heart, that's a good thing. And I believe today that when we read the Word of God, it ought to bring about the fact of questions being asked, answers being received, and even our lives changed to what God would have. Do you know we have a limited resource with the Lord in prayer? Now, your bank account may be slim. You may not have much financially. But I tell you, our Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has everything that you could ever want, hope for, or imagine. And you know what he said? He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, you have not because you ask not. And even when you do ask, you ask to consume it upon your own lust. Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. We are promised that God will hear and answer our prayer. Conditionally. You say, what do you mean conditionally? Well, there's a little verse, kind of puts a kink in that if you're not doing right. It said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. In other words, God says, ask and ye shall receive. But he said, repent of your sin before you ask. Get right with God and know that you're doing what you need to do. Therefore, let us learn to lean on him instead of worry and fear. Let us learn to turn to the Lord. I run into people a lot of times, and they're so afraid and so fearful. And I'm not saying that in times past we haven't had to be careful. But friend, the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of boldness and of sound mind. that we may worship him. We have a God that says, pray. He said, I'll meet your needs. In the book of Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, he said, I'm having these things. They happen too often now, but in Philippians, but he said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He will never fail, and he'll never turn you away empty-handed. He'll always answer your prayer. Oh, not necessarily the way you want it answered. But you know, when you pray, you need to pray according to God's will. Our commitment to him provides hope. We find today that it's not only our confidence in him, but it's our commitment to him. You see, what I'm saying, I guess, it doesn't cost anything to get saved. It doesn't cost anything to go to heaven. But if you're saved and you're going to heaven, then you have to have these things to have hope. If you don't have confidence in God, then there's no hope. If you don't have a commitment to the Lord, then there's no hope. And lastly, our comfort in the Lord provides hope. So, confidence, commitment, and comfort. Look at verse 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The first thing, God has sheltered us in a place for us. When we think of pavilion, we think of over here at the park. We think of those little covers with the picnic tables on. That's not the kind of pavilion he's talking about. Back in the day, when they would go to battle, they would put the king's tent in the midst of all the soldiers. He would be right dead center, and he would be surrounded by all the host of army to keep him protected. In other words, that would be the safest place to be if you were there, is to be in this pavilion that had been made for you and the protection that you had. And not only that, but anybody that came to see the king and was ushered into his tent where he would talk with you and minister to you or give you whatever you were looking for, you also would be protected by being in the pavilion. And I believe that's what he's talking about right here. The pavilion is the safest place to be, is in the shelter of his arms. To be there and know today, though a host that encamped against me said, though the battle may be raging and going against me, he said, I know I can put my faith and trust in God. And as the battles of life rage, we're safely tucked away in the king's pavilion. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:3, your life is hid in Christ. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing. Could there be a safer place in all the universe? No, sir. Buddy, I'm thankful today that I'm in the arms of Jesus, protected by him. And I'm glad today that anybody that enters into his presence is protected by him. Even as the battle rages around them, they're contained with peace and joy of the king himself. This promise is to those who will abide in that close place. No enemy can enter the private place. It's protected from the enemy. Isn't it wonderful? We're going to heaven one day, those who are saved. And the devil ain't going to be there. And there's not going to be any sin there. And there's not going to be any death there. There's not going to be any heartache there. What a wonderful place. We're going to be tucked away in his safety. You know what he was talking about? You remember a young man by the name of Daniel? Daniel got thrown in the den of lions as well as going against the king. Yet, he may have suffered greatly for some things he did, but he had confidence in knowing that he was in the presence of the king and he would be with him. I mentioned this just the other night. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children, they were tossed in the fiery furnace. They were confident that God would deliver them one way or the other. Friend, today I'm confident today that God will deliver us one way or the other. This was assurance that gripped their hearts when David stood and faced the giant. Man, Goliath, A big old giant in David, just a little boy. In fact, he was so little, he couldn't even wear the coat of armor they gave him. It was so heavy. He said, I can't do it. He said, I'll just go in the name of the Lord. Because he knew that he was hid away in the pavilion of the king, and nothing could take place or take him away. God has a secret place for us. It's called the tabernacle. It's a place of worship. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You remember, now he talks about this secret place and where he's going to lead us. And I'm grateful today that he talks about it in verse 5, the secret of his tabernacle. Could I give you a little, hopefully, insight on this? Maybe you already seen it this way. But you remember in the Old Testament, there was only one person that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It was a tent. There was a curtain. And the priest would go in once a year. One day, once a year, he would go in and offer the blood of a lamb that was without blemish, without spot. And he would offer that for the sins of the people. Now, the people were not allowed to go in. But the priest would go in yearly. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. In other words, it tore. And so now when he talks about the secret place, you and I are allowed to come to the Holy of Holies now. We're allowed to come to the throne of grace. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy. The Holy of Holies was the place where the very presence of God dwelt. It was the place where the glory of God could be seen. It was there that God took David during the battles of his life. It was there that David found himself shut up with God and shut off from the world around about him. He was in the king's home, the place referred to as a private dwelling of the king. It was a place no man could enter in unless they did so at his bidding. The otherwise enter into that place would mean death. It's amazing that there's a place of solitude in the world filled with people. There's a place that you and I can flee during the crushing battles that rage against us. There's a place, my friend, that affords us quiet, peace, and the profound presence of God. And it comes to those who have learned to abide in Him and have been to that place and know the glory of it. It's a place where the enemy dares not to follow. It's a place reserved for those who love the Lord their God. I hope you've been to that place. I hope you've accepted Him. You see, I believe Stephen was in that place as they stoned him to death. Because the Bible said as they did, he looked up to heaven and he saw the Father looking down upon him. I believe Paul found himself in that place during his life. All the prison times, persecution and all that he experienced, Paul knew that secret place. It's possible for us to enter that sacred, secret place where the world dims away and God becomes larger than anything else. My friend, I mentioned a verse Wednesday night. So whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. Friend, today, how important it is for us to get to that place. But not only did we find that, but God has a secure place. Not only a secret place, but a secure place. Not going to spend a lot of time on it, but look at the latter part of verse 5. He said, he'll set me upon a rock. The rock referred to here is a great craggy rock, but it's not a craggy rock. It's a rock that juts far from the battle, going on under his feet. It allows those who ride the heights to rise far above the turmoil beneath. This is a gift to all that know him. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He said, wait, I say, upon the Lord. And then, lastly, God has a special place for us. Look at the latter part of verse 6. I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David said, I'm going to the house. I will be near him. But while I'm there, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. Why? because of what he's done for me. Because the Lord has lifted me up above the battles, he set my feet upon a rock. Because the Lord has hidden him away in a secret place. Because the Lord has sheltered him away from the terrors of the battle. He said, I'll praise your name. Friend, if you're a child of God this morning and you find yourself in the place David did, the reason David could say this is because he had learned to be confident. He had learned to be committed. And he had learned through all of this, as the battle raged about him, he had learned the comfort that comes in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just quickly close with this. Are you fighting battles today? Everybody is, I believe. Are you in the master of the battle? The question is not, are you in a battle, but do you have hope? Hope today. So sad today. People in their life do all kind of things because they have no hope. We've read over the years, especially in foreign countries, they have what they call suicide bombers. They'll strap all kind of explosive materials to their body, go into a crowd of people just to take out a few with them. They have no hope. Friend, today my hope is nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And today I'm confident that I know him as my personal Savior. I pray today that I'm committed, and I hope you are. But I'm resting today in the comfort of the Lord to know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think if we'll put our trust in him.